This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9. Bent Notes is our weekly jazz program going to air each Sunday night.
Our special guest on Bent Notes is a legendary Australian pianist, composer, arranger and conductor. He has worked the gamut of performance spaces, including television, film, the concert stage, the jazz club and the lecture theatre as an educator. Appointed to the role of Executive Director of the Monash University Academy of Performing Arts back in 2012, Paul Grabowski has brought his experience, his focus and his creativity to the fore, most recently with the opening of the Ian Potter Centre for Performing Arts at Monash University, which includes the reopening of the refurbished 586-seat Alexander Theatre. I remember that from years ago. I remember the fire curtain coming down, intentionally between program segments, a 130-seat sound gallery and a brand new 200-seat jazz club alongside the existing Robert Blackwood Hall. It's my great pleasure to welcome to the Bent Notes studio Professor Paul Grabowski, AO.
Oh, gosh, it's all a bit too much, really.
Isn't it?
People will be falling asleep. How are you, David?
I'm very well, thank you, Paul. It's great to have you here in studio.
Oh, it's great to be back.
And it's great to be able to hear a little bit about what you've been doing out there at Monash University, but let's take a step back. You've been in the music industry since the late 70s.
Since the dawn of time, I think.
Yeah. Has there been a common factor that you've recognised along the way that has driven your ability for this longevity and your ability to work across performance and educational spaces?
Look, I started playing music when I was very, very small. And I started listening to music when I was even smaller. So I think music and I have had a very close relationship forever. You know, if people who have been musicians all their lives will understand this. You kind of navigate the world through the thing that, you know, you're very passionate about. And music for me was that. And music anyway is a kind of, like so many other ways that human beings express themselves, it's a metaphor for life. I mean, there are various ways of interpreting life generally through music. And so it's helped me through my life. And because I've never become wedded to a particular genre of music. I fell in love with jazz when I was a teenager, but that didn't mean that I cast everything out that wasn't jazz. I was trained classically and I still love classical music and still have a lot to do with it. And actually, I think I grew as a musician through then starting to listen and catch up on music that I hadn't really listened to when I was young, particularly, you know, popular music of various kinds and world musics of various kinds. So for me, music is all one thing. You might be better at a particular type of it than at another type of it, or you might have a deeper understanding of something as opposed to something else. But really, the reason why people make music is the same wherever you go, I think.
Irrespective of the genre or the stylings that are around.
Yes, or the culture. I mean, music plays different roles in different cultures, but if you boil it down, I think at the end of the day, it's a form of communication or a way to express something that words can't express. And I think that that's why we're so drawn to it. It's something that that human beings do, which is not dependent on words. Not a bad thing sometimes.
Not a bad thing.
Even though music and words obviously have a very close relationship.
Is it something that passion and that love of music and the broad scope, is that something that can be taught or is it something that's innate to an individual?
Oh, look, I think that there's two answers to that. Some people are very, like I was, very drawn to music in a way which can't easily be explained. It might have something to do with genetics or who knows. You know, there'd be something to do with environment in some cases. I mean, we didn't live in a particularly musical household in the sense that there wasn't a lot of music being played around the house, although my father had been a musician at one point in his life, and my brother, who was a lot older than I was and had already moved out by the time I was aware of who he was a musician. So there was this thing going on, and my grandmother was a harpist. So there's a bit of a background to it, and I guess, you know, in that sense, maybe it was just in the blood. But that's not to say that you can't learn an awful lot about music without being drawn to it in that kind of way. So the education of music is incredibly important, because what might seem mystifying or inaccessible to people who don't play music can be explained in ways that can really be quite enlightening and can make people who aren't players feel much closer to the people who are.
Which is actually an important thing for people to have a sense of involvement in the music.
Oh, it's incredibly important. I mean, musicians play music, but listeners listen, and, you know, they are two sides of the same equation. You can't have the one without the other. We musicians are nothing without our audiences, and I think that's a really important thing for every musician to always remember.
You recently wrote an article for the Monash University Lens, online, what would you call, a library of information?
So many libraries at universities.
There are.
Yeah.
Called The Importance of the Arts to Culture, Nation Building and Our Sense of Belonging.
Mm-hmm.
What prompted you to write that article? And in your mind, what is the main message of that article?
Well, I was asked to write it because of the opening of the new Ian Potter Centre for Performing Arts, you know, which is a very big investment by a university, because although universities sometimes have performing arts schools, or indeed Melbourne University has a conservatorium and the Victorian College of the Arts, so there's a lot of institutional music making and music education in those places. For universities which see music as a part of a broader sort of humanity sort of study, the investment, the massive investment which it takes to build a performing arts centre, that's a big deal, and that says a lot about the university's mission. In Monash University's case, and you mentioned the Alexander Theatre before, which has existed since 1968. The mission of the university has always been outreach to its communities as much as it has been the service or the use of its staff and students. So there's been this long-ranging, now over many, many generations, relationship between the university and our surrounding communities. That really has been the driver, I think, in building this new centre. We want to reinvigorate those relationships. Of course, we have a wonderful school of music, and of course, we have a wonderful school of theatre and performance. But we want to make sure that we don't lose contact with. In fact, we want to enhance the really important role that we have bringing people into the university just to experience the theatres, or for their children to perform in the theatres. These things are basic.
Is it the arts that define our culture, or is it culture that defines the arts?
Well, I think that, you know, you're really saying two things, or the same thing in two different ways. The art that we make is a product of who we are, but at the same time, we are who we are because of what we can do. So, you know, as human beings, we possess the wonderful opportunity to be creative people, but we are also lucky to live in a society which allows us the freedom to be creative. So I think these two things are symbiotic.
And the new art spaces out at Monash Uni are enabling that to continue, as you said, the mission into the community.
Well, they sure are. And, you know, the thing about these spaces, you mentioned them before, we've got the Alex, of course, we've got the Sound Gallery, and we've got the Jazz Club. Now, in the Alex and the Sound Gallery, we've got some incredible technology. In both of those rooms, we have sound systems, which are American sound systems built by the Meyer Audio Company in Oakland, California, called the Constellation System. And they allow us to create whatever kind of acoustical quality or acoustical situation we want in any of those spaces.
Electronically?
Yeah, digitally. So it is an extraordinary opportunity for listeners to experience music on the highest possible sonic level.
So does that mean you can change the overall feel of the Alexander Theatre, for instance, from what might be a very dead space to potentially a very live space?
Yes, absolutely, and every gradation of that.
Oh, wow.
It's amazing, David, actually. I know that, you know, in talking about it, it sounds fairly, in a sense, prosaic, because it's something that in a digital world you can just kind of easily manufacture. But there is something magical about the effect of this technology and the effect that it has both on players and on listeners.
So with all that technology, is it a technology that, from the listener's perspective, is not there?
Yes. I would say absolutely. So you don't see it. If you walk into the space and you have no idea that it's there, all that you would really think is that it's a nice-sounding room. But, you know, there's an immense amount of extraordinary science going on to enable us to do what we're doing in those spaces.
So down to the jazz club itself, I've read it's a 200-seater.
Mm.
What have you been aiming to do within that jazz club? Keeping in mind, I suppose, what we just talked about in terms of arts and culture and being able to assist one in that chicken and egg rotation. What's been the focus to get that jazz club up and running?
Well, I guess the first thing is that, you know, Monash University has a very, very good music school. This is Alman Khan School of Music. Within that school is an incredibly, like, nationally significant jazz unit. So headed by Rob Burke. It's a really fantastic group of teachers and a wonderful year in, year out, beautiful students who are doing extraordinary things. So there's a need for them to play in, I think, what I would describe as world's best practice, real world environment. One of the great joys for me personally in being able to work on the development of the centre is build a jazz club, which is the kind of jazz club that I would like to play in.
Well, that's a good aim to have.
I mean, I've played in every kind of jazz club and, you know, a lot of them aren't that great. But you remember the ones that are great and you want to try and remember why they were great and have elements of those things in something that, you know, I'm never going to have a chance to build a jazz club again in my life. So I might as well give it my best shot.
A way to go, I reckon, Paul.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, you're performing in the jazz club as the one of the launch activities over the next 5 weeks of August. We're going to hear a little bit about that shortly. But before we do that, I thought we should have a listen to one of the artists that you have guesting with you in Mama Alto.
Oh,
and
yeah.
A piece I've got here from her Lady Sings the Blues album called You Don't Know What Love Is.
Brilliant.
And it features Mischief.
Okay.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Find more Joycasts and show blogs, go to joy.org.au.
You are listening to Bent Notes, so where our guest is pianist, composer, arranger, conductor and educator, and I feel like there should be so many more things on that list.
Thank God there are.
Professor Paul Grabowski, AO. What a long list it is, Paul.
It's way too long, David.
Now, you're celebrating the launch of the Jazz Club at Monash University, a 200-seat space with a five-night series of original music from your trio, which includes Tamara Murphy and Miles Henry, with special guests each night.
That's right.
What's the vision that you have had in putting together these five nights?
Look, the first thing is I just wanted to see what it felt like to play in the club. When we launched the club, we did a very big kind of event with a whole lot of different people performing in the different spaces, and Vince Jones came down for that, and, you know, we played a few songs. So I felt like, okay, it's real. I'm not dreaming this. There's a stage and a piano and people I know, and we're playing and there's an audience. Good heavens. This is an opportunity now to do something quite, I think, quite important, which is to involve students and my colleagues, some of whom are staff members at the Sir Alman Khan School of Music, some of my extra university colleagues, to bring them together in a series of gigs which feature a bunch of people, many of whom I haven't worked with before. So I've called it New Grooves because it's largely...
I love the name.
Yeah, new people, some new material, some stuff that people won't have heard for quite a long time. Yeah, I mean, you know, so much of this music and my own personal investment in it is about generational refreshment. And every generation brings up wonderful new people. And so I learn always from playing with those people because I think, you know, we're working in a kind of music which really depends on input. It's like a living thing. And the water that, you know, grows us is often coming from people who are, in many cases, half or more, less or less than half my age. You know, so people who are, have either, in this instance, they're still at university or they've recently left. They've got ideas, they're amazing players, they sound fantastic, and it can only be good for me.
People who are, in a sense, redefining our culture.
Well, that's right. I mean, I had this opportunity when I was their age. I got to play with people who were, you know, vastly more experienced and generous with their passing on information and being very encouraging of me. And, you know, you can't develop the confidence to go forward in this without that kind of encouragement. We have to show that respect to the people coming up.
And you have some very respectful guests coming onto the Five Nights. Let's run through who you've got. We've just heard from Mama Alto. You've got Mama Alto coming up next, this coming Thursday night.
She's kicking it off, in fact, with my very good friend and colleague, Mirko Guerini.
Beautiful sax player.
He's amazing. Another great friend, colleague and staff member out there, Paul Williamson, who's, I think, one of the great trumpet players we have. Brilliant young trombonist who's a student called Callum Mincis, who's something amazing, and Tamara and Miles, as you mentioned. Miles is a student too. Killer drummer.
Great to have the students have this opportunity.
Oh, well, yes, but yeah. They, you know, they deserve it. They're great players, and they've got their own jazz club now.
They have indeed.
So lucky them.
Yeah, very much so. on the Thursday, the 8th of August, you've got some more special guests.
Yes, on the 8th of August... One of the most exciting vocalists, I think, on the scene to have emerged recently is Alma Zigia.
Mm.
Her parents are both very good friends of mine, Willie, the guitarist and songwriter, and Deborah Conway. Willie and I went to university together, so I've known Willie since 1976.
Right.
You know, to see his daughter Alma emerges as an incredible new force, I think, in this music is a very exciting thing. And again, a wonderful young student, Ashley Ballard. She's a great trumpet player, really developing an amazing style. So, very exciting.
Very exciting indeed. And 15th, you've got Fem Belling.
We do. And I've never worked with Fem before. I mean, I've heard her numerous times, but this is very exciting for me too. A wonderful young tenor player, Sam Ondaatje, and Ash again playing trumpet. Yeah.
Which is great to have.
What a fun.
And then coming up the fifth night. Have I got to the fifth night yet? One, two, three, four.
I think
the fourth
you have.
Night.
The fourth night.
It's Chelsea Wilson. We kicked off the program tonight with a piece from her latest album.
Well, Chelsea is like a person for all seasons, you know. She's doing everything. She's a singer. She's a DJ. She's a programmer. She runs festivals. She's part of my programming team at Monash. Again, I mean, what can I say? I mean, she's already very, very well known in the scene, and not just in the jazz scene, beyond that. And we work very closely together, but finally we're going to be playing together as well, which again is a first.
A couple of firsts out of this.
She's given me
series.
Gigs before. I've never had the opportunity to give her a gig, so...
Good way to go. And then on the fifth night, the 29th of August, you've got Jan Slater.
Jan, yes. She's, I think, you know, well, she's one of my favourites. And
it's a beautiful voice.
Yeah, we've done a lot together over the years. I have the greatest respect for Jan. She's not only a great singer, she's a great composer, a great musician. And I know that it might sound strange to say a great singer and a great musician, but look, people who are into music will know what I mean by that. It's not offensive.
Not at all. Mm. You've also got Rob Burke on that night and Ralph Alisi.
Yeah, so Ralph Alisi is coming out for the School of Music. He's, of course, a major talent from New York and an ECM recording artist. He's going to be doing a week of workshops with the students. Yes, we're very lucky that he's agreed to do a gig with us.
Very lucky indeed. It sounds like a fantastic sequence of concerts there for 5 weeks. You're going to be kept busy for those five Thursday nights, Paul.
But no rest for the wicked.
You're going to have a lot of fun, I reckon. A lot of fun indeed. It's going to be well worth seeing.
Thank you, David.
More info and tickets are available, and I'd suggest the easiest way to find them is to search for New Grooves M Live. Monash Live? M Live?
M Live, yep.
Or Paul Grabowski, New Grooves. It'll come up on the search and you can click on it and get through.
It will.
Paul, thank you so much for coming to Bent Note Studio tonight.
Always a pleasure. Thank
we
you.
Are looking forward to this inaugural series at the Monash Jazz Club, and hopefully there'll be more along the way as well.
And thank you for your support for all the local scene, David. You do a lot and, you know, people really appreciate it.
It's a great pleasure indeed, Paul. Thank you very much for coming in tonight to Bent Notes, Paul Grabowski.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.